Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Foul tipped to the mitt and held on to by Ramos, and that will do it. Red Sox lose again. And in this season where every game means so much, the Red Sox have lost four of their first five. Now the schedule only gets tougher as they go on the road tomorrow night to New York to face these New York Mets.
.617-779-0985 is the phone number. The Red Sox lineup. I'm sorry, but the Red Sox lineup is an issue. It's an issue. There are mistakes in the lineup last night.
It should be better, though. You got enough players where you should be able to fill the lineup.
It has begged this question of who the hell is filling out the lineup card. Now, if you had asked me this question a day ago, I was not. It's the guys upstairs. It's the nerds. The nerds are the ones controlling the sport now. I don't use nerds as a put down.
Well, I do.
I really don't.
Nerds are nerds.
They are. They're nerds. I don't mean that as an insult. I don't mean to call them nerds as an insult. That's what they are, though. They're nerds. The baseball nerds. So nerds. I'm like, it's the guys upstairs at baseball ops. They're the ones doing it. They don't let managers do anything anymore. I mean, we watched over the last few years, obviously under Dave Dombrowski and not under Chaim Bloom, but we know that there was plenty of input from upstairs into the lineup with Alex Cora, right? That collaborative way of doing things that they've done it over the last few years. We know that. Okay, those guys have a lot of input. And by the way, many times when you're trying to win games, it's helpful input. There can be very helpful adjustments made to a lineup because of analytics. I'm not putting down analytics in this. But then, Mr. Manager last night, Ron Renicky, Manager Ron.
I like this, man. Depending on the lineup.
And he's just electric, this guy.
I think electric.
I can see why Xander Bogaerts is emotionally struggling here at the start of the year.
I would pick McCone 500 out of 500 times on a desert island. If I had to sit there, like at the tip of this rock and be in constant contact or range to where I have to talk to this person like forever, I'd take McCone 500 times out of 500 times over Renicky.
Do you think Renicky takes naps in the afternoon?
No.
No?
I think he sits there and reads numbers.
He doesn't strike you as the guy who's like in his office taking
nap? Nope. He's the kind of guy that goes to bed at like 7:30 after he has supper. He doesn't have dinner. He has supper. And he probably puts a napkin on his lap.
I have no idea what that means when you say that.
It's like an old person thing, okay? They watch the evening news. It starts at 6.
Okay,
watch news.
If you think he's like an old guy,
supper.
By the way,
what you have?
How old do
you have a protein, you have a starch, and you have a carbohydrate,
all right,
and you have a piece of pie.
Take a guess. How old do you think he is?
Ron Renicky?
Yeah.
I'm going 65.
Yeah.
I would have guessed older. What would you guess?
I would say 60. I think Zoe's right on.
I would have guessed he was 70 years old.
Oh, he should be retired.
He's 63.
About right on.
He's way younger than I thought he was.
Okay.
But honestly, I'd like poke him with a stick a couple of times a game and see if he's alive.
He's still
like,
here.
Hey, Ron, you with us?
Hey, man. There's people who are like that, though. Like,
he sounds like Ben Carson on Downers.
play. He'll get there.
That's Ben Carson from a few weeks back. No, let's play Ron Renicki's answer last night from pregame.
Okay.
Because when the lineup comes out and last night there's a couple of easy second guesses. One, Peraza's moving all over this damn lineup. Benintendi's in the lineup and he's batting ninth. He shouldn't be in there. Verdugo should be playing last night. You're 1-3. Your team blows. You need to get something going here. Verdugo should have been in, and Chavis should have sat in favor of Moreland, who, by the way, came in and pinch hit. It's another problem I have. So if game two, and you'll hear that in this answer, if game two Bogart sat down, maybe because of his hamstring, as some people have suggested, well, then why did he play? Why did he come into the game? So if it's injury or health, why is a guy then going to, and I'm not suggesting
desperation,
that was the case, but like, why did he then play on Saturday?
No, but based on Renicki's answer saying, hey, we checked with Bogey this morning, make sure he feels okay. That tells me that's
right,
physical.
Right, but if that's the reason why he didn't play Saturday.
Then that's physical to me. They're hiding
bringing,
something.
They're bringing him along. Well, he tweaked his hamstring. That we know. We know that happened. Yeah. But it was before the start of the year, or last week.
Kind of like Kemba's knee. Nice.
So if that was why he sat Saturday, okay, he's nursing a hamstring. They want to bring him along. They want to keep him healthy because he's got an injury. Yeah. That's fine. But then why did he play in the game? If you're giving a guy a day off because he's nursing an injury, then give him the day off would be my point there. But again, here's his answer when asked quite simply, and you'll hear the question and the answer about who it is that's filling out this lineup card every day.
When you talk about getting a lineup from the or not a lineup, but the numbers from the analytic department, how much, I guess, time is spent each day, or is there a meeting between the front office, the coaches, and the analytics department about, like, you know, lineups? Or, you know, do you guys do a Zoom meeting for an hour a day, or what's that process
like? No, we don't. What it is they'll send us the information they have. It could be the first day of the series. It's matchups for maybe it just depends. It could be a week out. It's just helping us to put all the information together, how a guy's doing. The medical department also sends in a list to me with numbers on how much effort and these guys have been putting into being on the field, who needs a day off, who's at high risk because they've been playing too often. So all of this is gathered together by us, sometimes the night before to make up the lineup and decide who's playing. Sometimes I come in during the day and talk to Brad and see who's doing well. Like Bogey, we wanted to know today when he woke up how he was feeling. Is he okay to go? So some of it's made up the day before, but the information comes to us, and it's not about so much, you know, who's in the lineup every day, just the numbers on matchups and what the, you know, I want to know what are the numbers saying is the most optimal lineup that you can put out there. And then from there, just who fits and who makes the most sense.
He wasn't done, by the way. There's actually more to this answer. Was that a clear answer, by the way? He did at one point say they never send down a lineup.
Okay, you know what this reminds me of?
But wait, let's hear the rest of it. There's more. He's not even done yet. The analytics, matchups, health. What else you got, Ron? What else is in there? Play part two. If you got part two ready, T-Bone.
T-Bone fell asleep.
And poke you with a stick. He's got to pull it out now. But go ahead, Zoe. You were going
to
say.
We come in every day, and we sort of have to have an idea of what we want to do throughout a four-hour show. We have this app called Slack that you throw stuff into. So it just hit me, like, T-Bone's an analytics guy. Same thing with Jim. Like, they will pound a ton of information in that app for us. And then we go through it, like, list of topics. And then we sort of think what's going to be fit best for the day and what's hot and what's not. It's kind of what he's got to do. I think they have more influence on the lineup than he's leading us on to believe, because he is the manager and he would say it's still going to be my lineup. I think it's pretty damn influenced by what comes in upstairs. He's telling you it's numbers. I want to see the numbers. It's like anything. I mean, we said it with coronavirus. We look at charts and graphs.
That was all of it? Do we break it into two early, or is that what we did? Probably. All right, so that's the whole thing.
All right.
We played it all as one. Brutal. Brutal. Ron Renicki, not that he's the reason why the Red Sox have gotten off to a bad start, but he's not helping. And if he's the one that filled out the lineup last night with some loose input from upstairs, then I guess we put it on him. I don't really truly believe him. But because of that, I wonder if they're tanking. Are they tanking the year? And is Ron Renicke part of the strategy? Is keeping Ron Renicke as the interim manager for the season before they inevitably fire him and get an actual manager, is that part of the tanking strategy? Like, we'll just let this guy in. He sucks. We know he'll make bad decisions the entire way.
Oh God!
Is that part of it?
Is it tanking or indifference?
Tanking. No, it's with a purpose. It's tanking. Doing it with the idea of having better draft position next year and helping to rebuild the system. No, it's not just indifference. It's not just not doing your job or ignoring what you're supposed to be doing. It's not putting together the best bums for your rotation after Evaldi, and it's having Renicke as your manager, and it's maybe willfully suggesting the wrong things for that lineup. Dave's in Oxford. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, this question. Do you think Rafael Devers and Benintendi were rushed up a little bit? I mean, this year they both look lost. Devers looks lost in the field, and Benintendi definitely looks lost at the plate. Actually, they both look lost at the plate so far. Do you have any information on that?
What do you mean rushed up from what?
From the minors. Like Benintendi was drafted seventh in the first round overall, and they rushed him up pretty quick. Do you think they could have waited an extra year or so? I mean, I don't know who else they would have to fill in his position, you know, at that point.
Okay, well, Benintendi has now played three full seasons in the majors, and this is his fourth full season. And no, I don't think that's what it is. Andrew Benintendi is a major league player. I don't think he has suffered as a result of having been rushed up. This would have been Devers' third full season and fourth season in the majors. That conversation is something you could have had years ago, but both of those guys are major league level players. I don't know what you mean by that. If they're not as good of a major league player because they needed more time in the minors, they've got so much time now at the major league level, I don't know what the difference would be. No, I don't. I don't necessarily agree with that. They're both major league level players. They just may not be as, in Benintendi's case, he just may not be as good as we thought he was going to be. That might be the case with Andrew Benintendi. Guess what? He's good. He's good enough to be a major league player. He's just not great.
Yeah, I don't think the number's going to be astronomical with him. Your great player is gone.
Kendrick Perkins had a tweet on Kemba Walker yesterday.
When did you see this?
As soon as it was up.
Bang, huh?
As soon as it was posted.
Snip that sucker right out.
We'll get to his tweet, tell you what he said about Kemba Walker, and we'll actually talk to the head coach of the Celtics, Brad Stevens, at 12:50.
Be rad.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
What's up?
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Foul tip to the mitt and held on to by Ramos, and that will do it.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
you think Hardy's doing right now?
I think he's at the beach.
I kind of like sitting over here. You got your own space. You can do stuff. Like, do these kind of. You got a lot more room over here.
Yeah. My my wife and kids crashed his vacation yesterday.
What?
Yeah. I joined up with the Hardy.
Oh, of course, your best friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, down the beach.
Yeah.
She's in Yarmouth, huh?
No, I don't know that to be true.
Oh, okay.
Undisclosed location.
Interesting.
Like, it's so interesting. Oh, what's going on there? It was purely accidental.
I'm sure.
Like the Gatsby's.
Purely accidental.
Really, they just found each other in Cape Cod, just like same spot. Yeah, just amazing. With all the beach closures and parking down there.
Of all the places.
Of all the places. Of all the places.
Yeah. You know what I'd do if I, you know, send his kids off first, though? I do that, too. When we get around people, like, we get in the water. If I ever get in the water, and I rarely get in the water, I let other people test it out first. Or someone else's kids. Like, hey, why don't you...
I send the dog in first.
I take the ball, and I throw the ball, and, like, let the kids go swimming and play, because they're going to make all kind of noise splash and get in the ball, and if they don't get hit, then...
You're unbelievable. What a hero.
Not my kids.
What a hero you are.
Jesus. You think I want to get bit?
So what were we going to talk about here?
Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah, Kendrick Perkins.
The Google eyes here.
The tweet yesterday.
Amazing tweet.
Well, it just came out of nowhere.
Well, this is a guy that over the course of the NBA season has stepped into the role of, you know, getting into the media and being connected and having a pretty good pulse on everybody, right? Especially his old team.
Right. Let's read it. I didn't know what it was all about.
He was hot on the Celtics too.
He has been.
Yep.
So he said yesterday, I picked the Celtics, and he was retweeting a video of him on First Take yesterday saying, I have the Toronto Raptors coming out of the East. He said, I picked the Celtics earlier as the team that could beat the Bucks based on where they were at the time. Losing Kemba, who was one of their top three guys, and the guy that keeps the ship afloat, puts them in a different situation, changes everything. Next up, the Toronto Raptors. So I read that and I said, losing Kemba?
The hell did he hear?
What do you mean losing Kemba? Is Kemba lost? I was like, why? Wait, what? What happened to Kemba? Because at that point, there was nothing new on Kemba.
B-Rob, what's up with Kemba?
What's up with that? Losing Kemba. I'm like, wait, does this mean he's gone? Did something happen? Does Kendrick Perkins know something?
Because he worse knows than we know.
So many players in the league that told him something we don't know. Later in the day, Brad Stevens said Kemba was fine.
You know what happens? They get in a bubble and they do this. They talk.
I was like, what is this? Maybe it meant that Kemba's not going to be 100%. What does that mean, losing Kemba?
I think Perk's just a little behind where Kemba is right now. He probably saw at the start of camp he was going to be on a minutes limit, and that says to him that he's going to be damaged goods.
I don't buy that.
That's my guess.
You think Perk is behind everybody else and doesn't know what's going on? I don't buy it.
That would be awful.
He knows too many people in the bubble.
That'd be awful by him, because that would be like, I'm on ESPN. I'm on this big freaking production thing that's in cahoots with the league, and I'm not going to do my homework to the point where that would be like me going on and saying, okay, Mahomes got dinged up. Remember when he hurt the knee last year? You know what? I had the Chiefs coming out of the AFC, but they lost Patrick Mahomes with his knee, and like, oh, he's playing? Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, crap. Well, I got to pick Kansas City then. That's bad on Perk's part if that's true.
I agree. And Perk's, I mean, Kemba only did play 10 minutes in that game. But to me, I saw him in that game. He was moving pretty well physically. My guess is Perk didn't watch Kemba in that game.
Okay.
And it's just kind of going off of the word of Kemba, which is true. Like, we don't know yet what he's going to look like after he plays 20, 30 minutes in these games. So that's my guess. But like you guys said, he might know people in there. He might know more.
Whether it's him, Jason Williams, or Jalen Rose, those guys talk to guys. And they base all their opinions on who they talk to in the league.
B-Rob, should we be concerned about Kemba?
Sure.
Oh, great.
I mean, it's
not what we were looking for.
There's that. Great.
But no, but it's one thing to be concerned about Kemba. It's another thing to say that he's done. Like, Perk overstated it in this tweet. And I think got people riled up about it. I think it's somewhere in between right now, between what Perk said and, you know, Kemba's going to be just fine. And we're going to find out again in the next couple weeks where he's actually at.
No, we're going to find out in a half hour when we talk to the head coach.
Brad Stevens coming up at 12:50 today. Hopefully Kemba's not lost.
Hey, coach, how's it going?
I think the biggest concern is, can he make it the whole way without breaking down, without having to be lost?
Yeah, no question.
At some point.
That would suck to play at an extremely high level throughout the first two or three weeks of this, and then start to get that soreness again, and then you lose the guy.
Because the biggest thing, guys, we haven't seen the like Tatum at this all-star, you know, top 10 player in the league level with the good Kemba yet. Because Kemba started falling off once Tatum began to take off in January, February. So again, if you can get Kemba looking right with Tatum, then you might be able to give the Bucks a run for their money. But if Kemba can't get there, then you might be in, you're not going to go very far.
So what's the ceiling in your mind? We did this last week when you were out. What's the ceiling for the Celtics?
Final Four.
So
Eastern Conference Finals.
Eastern Conference Finals is the ceiling.
Yeah.
I think that it's a long shot, but they could make it to the finals.
They could beat the Bucks.
They could.
Like, they got to be hot.
I think they have problems with Philadelphia and with Milwaukee. So I don't know. I don't know that, you know, the chances are good.
I think they're right on where you look at some of the odds books, and a lot of people have them like right there, 4, 5, 3. You know, best chance to win the final, best chance to win the NBA Finals. Celtics are coming in somewhere around 3, 4, 5 in multiple books. That's pretty spot on. It's Final Four. It's about right where I got them.
Are we going to be happy with that?
I mean, given what we've gone through, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think we'd probably be okay with that.
Sure. What the hell would have been the end result? Say Kemba couldn't finish the year and the knee got worse. Like, he's had this injury the entire time.
That to me is going to be the most disappointing thing.
It will be. And then what? You got him
if
another,
it happens.
Okay, say you got another 2 years, too, with him. Well, I just hope this isn't a chronic thing. You know, like how we, you know, look at Kyrie, man. It's just like, look at the issues he's had with that knee and injuries. Just, you don't want that in your, what?
McCone's taking a victory lap on this.
Oh, you are?
Oh, he was down on Kemba from
the beginning. I didn't want Kemba.
He's not a UConn. He's a UConn fan, but he didn't like Kemba.
Yeah, it's weird. Remember how weird that was?
That was weird. That was a weird day.
Biggest UConn guy ever, and he doesn't want Kemba.
He'd put Donnie Marshall ahead of him as far as best NBA talents, yeah.
I was a big Donnie guy. You're right.
Yep. I wore Donnie's pants. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that story.
Brought me in pants.
Yeah. That was about a year ago at this time. We were
those are great pants you have. He's like, what size are you? I'm like 36, 36. I got them. I'll bring them in for you. Takeaway brought me a bag of pants.
Bag of pants.
It felt like I went to the thrift store.
Weirdest thing ever.
Look at these ones. He had like one of the big painter's pants, those jeans with the hooks on the side. Oh, look at this. What did I put in here? A hammer? Some keys? I had a big ring of keys I put right there in the end.
617-779-0985. Well, I'm happy that Kemba appears to be intact still. And Kemba is still, as far as we know, able to play and able to be, well, here and present, and hopefully is able to make it the entire way.
Right.
By the way, NBA just released their testing results.
It's quite nice, huh?
Zero positive tests.
Zero
in their latest round of testing.
Lou Williams.
What about Lou Williams?
Nothing. I'm saying the trip to Magic City.
So you should do that more, you're saying.
When
that.
Was the trip to Magic City, though? Last weekend?
I think so, yeah.
Over the weekend? Was it? What day was it? Saturday? Friday? What day? He may still be quarantining and needing more testing.
Oh, maybe that's one of the cleanest strip joints. You could send the entire NBA there, the bubble, and hang out there. Feed them their dinner. There. Mills and wheels. Wheels.
Yeah, that's what they are. But the bubble is working. The bubble is working for that sport. It appears to be working for the NHL.
It's MLB. Pretty much working for baseball, though.
It is?
Well, you got one team that's like super quarantined. That's their breakout. How many other teams have breakouts?
It was only half the roster being.
Half a roster of a team.
Right.
Tested
on
positive.
One team, a single team that plays ball in a hotbed. Man, they're in Florida.
3 days in, half a team has it. You think that's working?
Well, I mean, it seems like other teams are taking care of business, right?
By the way, Juan Soto is back and has been cleared to rejoin his team.
How many? Eight tests now? Nine?
For having two consecutive negative tests, he is able to return.
Nice.
Good to his team. 6 days after he had tested positive, he's allowed back in. Does that concern you a little bit? That there's no mandatory sitting out time after you test positive?
Yeah. I know they're testing often. Like we said, every 48 hours, you're getting tested.
Yeah. He tested positive last Thursday.
We talked about this yesterday with the NFL. There's seven teams that haven't had their protocols or COVID testing approved yet by the league. Patriots are one of them. Pro Football Talk today got a hold of Detroit's protocol for testing. Three-ring binder, which is thicker than the team's playbook. Seems like the NFL is going to have a pretty thorough testing protocol set up and system in place once this is all agreed upon to and signed. Baseball kind of feels that way, but may not be, if that makes any sense. The NBA is in a bubble. We know how that goes.
There have been a number of changes and adjustments made to broadcasting setups, including ours here at 98.5 The Sports Up.
This has me extremely concerned because I'm a color guy.
Last night, Cedric Maxwell and Sean Grandy were not broadcasting from this building. They actually did their broadcast from the Garden last night.
So they're doing it from multiple locations.
They're trying out different things. Okay. They're working it out right now, finding the best setup for the season.
Well, it's more importantly, whatever Grandy thinks, because he's got to be able to see things better.
We'll get to last night's broadcast.
Something happened during it,
and
right?
Cedric Maxwell. And we'll do all that before we talk to Brad Stevens at 12:50.
All right.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here, 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. It's he got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
God, I want some Italian food now.
Cedric Maxwell.
Ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling,
I think he's Italian, and he's part Italian.
He ain't Italian.
Come on. He was working last night.
He has Italian suits. Very fine suits. Oh, double-breasted.
Well, he's got nice suits. He was working last night.
Yeah, we call it that.
Doing the game. Not here at the Garden.
Okay.
From the Celtics locker room. That's where the whole setup was last night. They've got some different feeds and different technology there that might make things better for the listener. So
brand new building. Yeah.
Was it at the Garden or was it at the practice facility?
It seemed like it was the Arbuck Center. Because I thought it said Arbuck Center.
Is it the Garden locker room? The Celtics locker room.
Thank you.
It was. All right, I'm wrong.
Misinformation. Zoe.
It could have been Arbuck written there, too. I don't know. I've never been in the Celtics locker room. Sorry.
Well, they were at the Garden last night.
Now, I would say the Garden would be harder to get into than the Arbuck Center would be to get into, if that makes any sense.
A bigger building.
Well, multiple entrances, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Bigger building.
Right.
Okay, so this was at TD Garden.
Okay.
Right? Correct?
Let's give it a listen.
Let's just get to it. Let's get to the broadcast with Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell.
They have Austin Rivers and McLemore coming off the bench. Eric Gordon is up, and he is not yet walking, but he is standing.
Yes.
On his feet. Why don't you tell everybody
pizza
what you're
pizza time.
You're the only guy who got a pizza delivered during a pandemic to a supposedly secure location. That's like Jack Bauer getting a pizza delivered to some prison camp in Slovenia.
Let me stand right here and do this. See, this is what I'm holding up right now. Which way do I hold this Bible? How you want me to hold it? This way, that way? I'm not sure. That was the best.
Poor Grandy. Eric Gordon is being helped off the floor, man. This is just a nightmare of these exhibition scrimmage games.
Is he hammered?
This is during an injury, by the way.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Is he watching the same game? Or is he
watching the game at all at that point.
He ain't working right now.
Grandy's talking about Eric Gordon and there being an injury on the floor and the guy going down. And he's like, oh, and he's down. And Max goes, yes! And if you're listening, you're like, what?
Had more cheese. He got the extra cheese on. He opened the box.
Pizza's here.
Yeah.
Pizza time.
Grandy's trying to do the subdued voice as we have an injury. player being escorted off. And Gordon couldn't put any weight on that foot. Yeah, he's up,
and he is not yet walking, but he is standing.
Yes! Yes! He's out! He's hurt! That's yes! So see, now, Dennis Knutson, chief engineer, he's the guy that drives the train, sent us pics of inside the locker room, the whole setup, which tells me Dennis was there, probably for this, to help make sure everything was good for the broadcast. And if pizza came in, I'm sure Max had Dennis help to acquire the pizza, which is a good sign for me if I have to end up calling games at some point off monitors in certain buildings that I'm going to have the ability to eat, because I eat during a broadcast. Color guys eat during broadcast. Okay, that's what we do. We need to keep us fed. We're used to it. We have an extremely nice spread that they put out for us. Nice salad, nice pasta salad. We have clam chowder. We have coffee. Make sure the coffee's black. Good black coffee. Got to have that. Keep us awake during the broadcast. Bob needs his teas. Make sure you have hot water for him. I don't like the sandwiches rolled up in wraps. I like real sandwiches. Like the good, something you can hold and bite.
Buddy, pizza time.
Wraps tend to get soggy after they sit there for a while.
Can we have more?
So pizza would be great.
Let's get this halftime. Hey, let's get the halftime. Jeez.
Still 108 to go until halftime.
Holy moly.
No kidding.
Smells like pizza.
How long did you say it took for them to let you in to the building tonight?
Forever.
And yet, somehow, Spicoli, a pizza has found its way to... I mean, what happened to our time?
Our time called halftime. Excuse me, my friend. It's going to be halftime.
Covington gets the free throw.
Don't we go to the back to get things, snacks to eat and stuff at halftime? I'm trying to teach like a regular season game.
Long lead. Westbrook catches up to it. Going to attack Poirier. Trying to move it to the wing. Got deflected by Ogilvy out of bounds. Houston will keep it, keeping Max 54 seconds away from his halftime snap.
What is that?
74-58, Houston by 16, 17 on the shot clock, 22 on the game clock as we count it down to halftime, which for Max has a double meaning. Harden.
Double meat on this pizza. Thank you.
Harden has Wanamaker lined up. Step back three. Got it. A 30-point first half for James Harden. That is bubblicious. Harden just wants the ball back. He tries some three-quarters court, and it just goes wide left. And that will do it for the first half. For all of us, it's halftime. For Max, it's snack time.
So there we go. So we have our two corporate sports guys in. So Schmatz is down there in a corner office. He's down there staring at his computer. Louth is down there staring at his computer, too. And I know they got the TV on. They hear our show. They're listening to make sure we don't say anything silly.
Right.
And I just hope to take notes on this, that Max has the ability to have food during the broadcast. And if we're eventually going to get to points where you might be doing a pregame here and I might be doing games, that they have folding tables, that we could have food spreads on here. And do you hear the happiness in Max's tone?
Pizza time.
Happy to be here. We got a game. We got food. Everybody's having a good time. Celtics are winning. Patriots going to be winning. Just everybody's happier. Make sure you have food.
From Grandy, there's only one man that could get pizza delivered into a secured quarantine broadcast bubble.
Yeah.
At Cedric Maxwell, right. 81, the legend only grows.
I get excited for food drops, don't I? Like you get a good food drop, it makes our day here. Imagine what we would do for a broadcast. That's all. You got 20 of them, or 16 of them.
Talk to someone who is in a secured bubble. That would be the head coach of the Celtics, Brad Stevens, next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mm-hmm.
It's 12:50 here on Zolak and Bertrand, Beadle and Zoe from our Town Fair Tire Studios at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics, coming to us from Orlando. Brad Stevens joins us now. Hey, Coach, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great up here, Coach.
We're hanging in.
We're wondering how you're doing in that bubble, and how's the team doing? How's everybody responded? Well, before we get into, you know, the serious stuff.
Well, I can tell you, this is the same place I'll be talking to you every week. Like, literally the exact same place.
Do they have a certain room for you? Like, they put you in a closet and just say,
"Well, no, they have." They have. So we're actually all on one floor, which has been great. And as I was telling somebody earlier, like, the being back out on the court and, you know, with all these safety protocols that the NBA has taken and done a good job with, and being able to enjoy the game that we all love to play and be around has almost been like childlike in the enthusiasm of getting back out on the court together and being out here. There are certainly some challenges with the rest of the day, right? We get a 3-hour court window, and then maybe they open up an hour at night if guys want to shoot, depending on court availability. But there's not a ton else to do. So I've walked around the same pond about 60 times, and but, you know, we're all appreciative for the opportunity to be able to play and appreciative for the NBA has been tremendous in executing this plan thus far. We know it's, you know, all this stuff is tenuous and there's risk involved, but, you know, you feel like everybody's putting their best foot forward.
Well, the good news is today the NBA announcing in the latest round of testing, 0 positive tests. So it appears the bubble's been working so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's again, we tested, I think we started testing June 23rd before we left Boston, maybe every other day. And then the couple days before we left, we tested daily. And then when we got here, we tested, then quarantined, then tested again. And so if it doesn't come in, then, and if we can keep it contained, then that's the goal. But, you know, obviously, there's always risk, and we all understand that. And, but it has been nice to be back together. And, you know, the medical side, I will lean on the experts to tell us what we need to continue to do. Every day we have we not only have practice times or like meal times or whatever. And we're all like, all 8 teams in our hotel are all within, you know, our meal rooms are all within, you know, at most, 50 yards of each of the furthest one. But we also have like a testing window we have to hit every day and make sure that we get our daily test to get cleared for the next day.
Yeah, I saw Adam Silver on Good Morning America today. He said he's coming down today. He will be in the bubble. And of all the 4 major sports, you know, football and starting up, obviously with hockey, you know, up north, and you see the issues that baseball is having right now, do you feel your commissioner has had a pretty damn good handle on how to approach this thing and protocol and communicating with the represented clubs? It seems like Adam Silver's got it going on.
Well, I think Adam, the NBA as a whole, all the different people that have helped lead this charge, plus the Players Association, which has done a ton of work and ultimately has to, you know, sign off on everything that's being looked at, and the referees, the coaches. I mean, everybody is doing their part to make this work. Now, there are challenges, and the challenges are, like, you know, there could be a mental toll on being away from family this long, right? There could be a lot of challenges of being in the same room for however many months. And so those are all things that we're all very alert to help each other through. And so, as we continue to fight, or find a vaccine or cure, whatever the case may be, that's way past my level of understanding. I think the biggest thing is that we realize this is a unique situation, and we have to all be diligent to do our part to help make it work.
We're talking with Celtics head coach Brad Stevens. Coach, a question that a lot of people have been talking about here is, what's the status of Kemba Walker's knee? And yesterday, Kendrick Perkins gave everyone a small heart attack for a portion of the afternoon by tweeting that the Celtics had lost Kemba Walker, which we know is not true. But what is the status, or is there any level of concern about his knee holding up over however many games you are about to play?
His knee is the strongest it's been since he got here in September. So he has worked exceptionally hard over the last couple of weeks with a great training plan from our training staff, and has built up into, will play limited minutes in the first few games with the idea of building him up without, you know, hopefully no setbacks, to the point where he can play, you know, normal minutes in playoff games. So everything has been part of a plan. It's tried to be more proactive than reactive. Our training staff's done a great job. Kimba's done a great job. I laugh when we first showed Kimba his minutes restriction for Friday night. I already told Kimba what he's going to say to me when I take him out of the game, because I've lived this enough, and it's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be enjoyable, but I told him I'll take it. And because nobody wants to come out of game one, you know, 14 to 20 minutes into it. But I feel really good about the plan that we put together. And the key is now is, can you get enough game time in and get yourself to feeling as good as you can so that you can be at your best on August 17th. And so for each person, that's different. For some people, it meant that they've had to go for 2.5 weeks to really practice and get better and get themselves back into that rhythm. For him, it's been strengthen the knee, strengthen the knee, strengthen the knee. That's the priority for us.
That's great news. I got one bubble question for you. Is there anything that really popped out? And I know you over-prepare, not over-prepare, but you're prepared for everything. Is there anything that blindsided you guys when you first got down there? Like, this can be an issue, whether it's lighting with the court, you know, the way the court responds to the ball, the shooting. Is there anything, visual lines with players, that may have surprised you?
No.
Okay.
No,
good.
I mean, there are some things where you seen the games where they
have, yes,
where they're televised. Yeah. So there's a piece of what's that called? The plastic around the scorer's table. It's not plastic, but whatever.
Plexiglass.
So the plexiglass, when you're like sitting as the second or third row assistant, it's hard to see the whole game through the plexiglass and a raised up scorer's table. So some of our coaches and or video personnel are watching it like on the big screen as much as they're watching the game itself when it goes to the other end of the court. Other than that, it's been like pretty flawless. The court setup is amazing. And I don't know if you saw last night, but they're zooming in fans.
Yes.
And you can hear reactions. I mean, it's really amazing the creativity they put into this, you know. And, you know, I think about, we all were kind of blindsided in a lot of ways, right, in March when everything shut down. And now to think that the NBA not only came up with this plan, which is so complex medically, but got all the teams together, did all this, you know, put 7 different courts down in ballrooms so that we all could, you know, shuffle practice times and have 3 arenas to play in that were all made specifically for a fanless environment. It's remarkable the amount of work that was done. I mean, it's really remarkable. And so, you know, again, there are some things that you obviously, if we could have our families, if we could, you know, see our families, whatever the case may be, that would be ideal. But you understand that this is so unique that we just need to make the most of it. And we're looking forward to competing. This is good. The fun part's happening now. I think everybody's sick of practice.
Yeah.
We're ready to get going on Friday.
So when all of that was happening, the preparation and the planning and things going on outside of basketball, not even related to the pandemic, and we'll get more on that in a moment, but was there a point where you thought, this is it, it's not going to come back, you know, the season is lost, we're not going to make it back? Did it seem hopeless at any point to you?
You know what? I'm on one of these competition groups. So I never got the feeling that it was hopeless. I did get the feeling that time is running short if we don't do it soon. And I was actually surprised when we came out with the plan for practice for 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks before at the location. I thought we were going to practice in our markets similar to what the NHL did.
Ah.
I understand the medical benefit of it. But I think the length, when they determined that we were going to do that and the length was what it was, I felt like it looked doable, but it obviously, there were a lot of T's to cross and I's to dot. And that's where I give the NBA a lot of credit. They've been great about saying, like, hey, when you first get here 2 weeks ago or 2.5 weeks ago, they said, hey, just, we all got to be on our toes a little bit. No one's ever done anything like this. We'll be flexible. We'll try to make it the best that it can be. And they have done that. They've really tried to do that in a lot of different ways. And we're all just looking forward to the games getting started, because I think that'll bring a whole new amount of interest.
There are a number of issues not related to the pandemic, not related to basketball, as it relates to racial and social justice that have come to the forefront over the last couple of months. And I know that this was a major concern for players and was a part of them agreeing to come back and continue the season. And I also know that you're a part of something with coaches and the Equal Justice Initiative. What is it that you are doing? And tell us more about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, everybody wants to maintain the momentum that has really been, not only really building over the last few months, but make sure we're doing our best to use this platform appropriately to continue to talk about systemic racism, what it is, why it exists, how many different areas that we all need to work on to help and what all we can do. And part of that is just understanding the big picture of the last 400 years of, obviously in our history. And so as a coaches association, led by Lloyd Pierce and others on a kind of a committee, I mean, it's really remarkable. And so, again, there are some things that you obviously, if we could have our families, if we could, see our families, whatever the case may be, that would be ideal. But you understand that this is so unique that we just need to make the most of it. And we're looking forward to competing. This is good. The fun part's happening now. I think everybody's sick of practice.
Yeah.
We're ready to get going on Friday.
So when all of that was happening, the preparation and the planning and things going on outside of basketball, not even related to the pandemic, and we'll get more on that in a moment, but was there a point where you thought, this is it, it's not going to come back, the season is lost, we're not going to make it back? Did it seem hopeless at any point to you?
I'm on one of these competition groups, so I never got the feeling that it was hopeless. I did get the feeling that time is running short if we don't do it soon. And I was actually surprised when we came out with the plan for practice for 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks before at the location. I thought we were going to practice in our markets similar to what the NHL did.
Ah.
I understand the medical benefit of it. But I think the length, when they determined that we were going to do that and the length was what it was, I felt like it looked doable, but it obviously, there were a lot of T's to cross and I's to dot. And that's where I give the NBA a lot of credit. They've been great about saying, like, hey, when you first get here 2 weeks ago or 2.5 weeks ago, they said, hey, just, we all got to be on our toes a little bit. No one's ever done anything like this. We'll be flexible. We'll try to make it the best that it can be. And they have done that. They've really tried to do that in a lot of different ways. And we're all just looking forward to the games getting started, because I think that'll bring a whole new amount of interest.
There are a number of issues not related to the pandemic, not related to basketball, as it relates to racial and social justice that have come to the forefront over the last couple of months. And I know that this was a major concern for players and was a part of them agreeing to come back and continue the season. And I also know that you're a part of something with coaches and the Equal Justice Initiative. What is it that you are doing, and tell us more about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, everybody wants to maintain the momentum that has really been, you know, not only really building over the last few months, but make sure we're doing our best to use this platform appropriately to continue to talk about systemic racism, what it is, why it exists, how many, you know, how many different areas that we all need to work on to help, and what all we can do. And part of that is just understanding the big picture of the last 400 years of, you know, obviously in our history. And so as a coaches association led by Lloyd Pierce and others on a kind of a committee leading our whole group, they came up with a couple of partnerships, one the Obama Foundation and one the Equal Justice Initiative with Brian Stevenson, where, you know, we really tried to hone in on, from our standpoint as coaches, helping be a part of the education process. And you know, like, I'm sitting here, and I'm sure you guys feel the same. I've been in some meetings. We had a Zoom call a couple weeks ago with Henry Louis Gates from Harvard. And I learned more in that hour than I learned in my 12 years of schooling. Like, and so obviously there's a great deal of need for reform, of more truth telling, more understanding of what our past truly has happened, and be able to really reckon with it and confront it. And that's what Brian and the Equal Justice Initiative really focus on. And so they have a daily calendar. And so you'll hear the different coaches on different days talking about it. I tweeted about one of the days yesterday. Sean and I talked about another day on Sunday. But if you just go to EJI.org, you can find this calendar. And it just every single day references something in the history of the United States of why we're where we are and why we have work to do. And his whole point, and it's a great point, is you have to understand before you can repair. And I think that hit me like a ton of bricks, because, you know, as a person that has always been a part of a team and has great relationships and really cares about, obviously, all the players and coaches that have worked with and everybody else, I need to learn a lot more. And so I think it's on all of us to do that and be part of this, so that we can all help this world become a better place. And so I think that's one of the many initiatives here. The players are very, very engaged, and the NBA is engaged, and, you know, there's a lot that needs to be done. And we could go into it in several different categories, but I certainly think that we all want to do our part, and, you know, certainly feel responsible to do our part as part of the NBA and part of the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, I'm sorry for keeping you long, but I think it's important to talk about this. And I remember we talked to you during Black History Month, and where did you take your team? You said it was so eye-opening to see these guys and how they reacted and how important the time you spent for them. What was it? Was it a local museum?
Well, a few years ago, and it was actually on election night.
Okay.
As ironically as this would have it, we went on election night in 16 to the National Smithsonian Museum of African American History with Jim Cash, who's one of the investors in the Celtics, actually met us there, and he was on the board that helped build the museum, and it's just an incredible place. If you haven't been, it's a great place to learn about our history and learn about, you know, and for us, it was really impactful because we were all together.
Yeah.
The next day wasn't so good when the election results came in, but, and obviously that's part of one of the things that I think a lot of us will be talking about over the next few weeks is make sure we vote. You know, we all have a way to use our voices, and we all need to make sure that people aren't suppressed in being able to use their voices. But, that night, was an opportunity for us to grow and learn together, but there have been several opportunities for all of us to grow and be together. And, you know, it's one thing about the locker room, Scott, as you know, like, you're sharing things every day.
Yeah.
With people that grew up completely different from you. We have different nationalities in our group. We have, People from every walks of life, we're all bound by a common goal. That's why sports can
sports
be so powerful.
Sports are so
powerful.
Important.
That's why
so important.
Sports are so important so that people see that. And I think that sometimes we even, you know, even though we're together that much, we don't know as much about each other as we should. We've really taken the last 3 weeks to get to know each other even better, and it's been incredibly rewarding.
Oh, great stuff, Coach. Good stuff today. You got to come on right. more with us. You, all right, we're down from down here.
That?
I mean, when you're yeah, when you're you done riding the rides, you know.
Yeah, you guys didn't want me on for the last 4 months.
Whoa!
Wait a minute.
Oh,
who said you got bad info?
You got
there.
Bad
we
information.
Reached out.
Oh man,
we were looking.
We heard. They said they told me that when we shut down the season, they said, "Thank God we can fill that 1250 time slot with somebody more interesting."
You're a liar.
You got there. You're wearing golf shirts on the sidelines now and everything. Like, are you a golf? Are you a fan of the golf shirt? Or do you want the suit back?
I think I need to lift more. Yeah, I don't know.
You look like one of those golfers.
Am I a fan of the golf shirt? Yeah. I am a fan of basketball casual every day of the week.
Like, keep it that way.
No, we should not be wearing suits. I've made that clear, and I've been outvoted on several occasions, but I'm going to keep working as hard as I can to try to lessen the amount of suits so that we can actually, you know, the best coach in the world wears a cutoff hoodie. Like, why do we have to wear a
That's
suit?
A good point. You know that guy, too.
Excellent point. Yeah. Excellent point.
Anyways.
All right, Coach.
All right, guys. Be
good
well.
Luck.
Brad, yeah. Good talking to you.
Bye.
Thanks. Brad Stevens with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline from Orlando in the bubble.
He's breaking our balls here, right? Yeah. He's breaking our balls.
I just want to state for the record, we requested Brad Stevens.
Multiple times.
Multiple times during the shutdown. Multiple times.
Yeah.
Always great to talk to him.
We had to get his smooches in before he left.
We'll obviously be talking more basketball issues and team-related issues as they play some real games.
Yeah.
You heard me say yesterday, we'll not hold exhibitions against the Celtics.
Good news on Kemba, though.
Refuse to do it. They're warm-up games. Their season has already begun. Mm. This is not preseason. These are just warm-ups, getting back into the flow of things. We have headlines with McCone. We're right back.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.